Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God, Lord, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles?
Yes.
If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 8. Praise God. Praise God. So let me get the board together here. I've entitled this evening's message, "The Word is Near You." The Word is near you. And this whole subject matter tonight is about Paul conveying his message through his teachings that Jesus was in the midst of his people and yet they didn't see him. They didn't realize that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was in their presence. And so the Word, who was made flesh, was near them. They could have embraced him. They could have put their hands on him. He was right there, and yet they missed it. You know, it hasn't changed in 2,000 years. There's folks that come to church in many venues, and the Holy Spirit's there, and yet he was near, but they missed it. Hopefully that won't be the final outcome of their life, that they would come into the saving knowledge. Amen. So let's go to these first 8 verses and let's expound the teachings of Paul in this writing. And it reads in verse 1, here we go. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." In other words, they were still operating by the law. Verse 4. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them." Verse 6. "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above." And verse 7 and 8. "Or," verse 7, "who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you." This is where I got the topic. I'm always going to have our topic in God's word. "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." So in other words, saints of God, there was no excuse. And today there should be no excuse. Why? Because when people see your life, they should see a transformed life.
That's right.
They should see Christ, the hope of glory, living inside you. They should see manifesting through you love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, and kindness. All that is the fruit of the Spirit. And you can only receive the fruit of the Spirit unless you've been born again. Changed from the inside out. Now have become a child of God. So let's break this down and let's allow the Holy Spirit to have its way. verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. So I found, as I was studying this, I found this one particular scripture in 2 Peter that kind of correlates this. Okay, so let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 8 and 9. Look at this. He writes, Peter writes, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Say that with me. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Promise of what? As some count slackness. But is what? Long suffering. In other words, he's patience. Toward who? Toward us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. Come to repentance. You see, saints, that was the problem back then. It's a problem today. But here's the good news. The good news is God, in his long suffering, waits for people to get saved. Now, we don't know when that final day is going to come. Many believe we're living in the last days, the last of the last days. And yet God is still faithful, isn't he? That none should perish. You see, saints, Paul's concern for the Jewish people is genuine and is heartfelt. His longing and prayer is that they might be saved. Remember when we were studying this a chapter ago in verses 1 through 3? Let's go and revisit that real quick. Let's go to Romans 9, 1 through 3. Look at this. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also what? Bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continued grief in my heart. Why is his heart grieved? Look at this. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Basically what he was saying here, he says, I would take their place. He goes, I would die for them. But it was a little bit too late, right? Because Christ is the only one that can die for our sins. But yet, in Paul's heart, it was greed. Why? Because the majority of the Jews then rejected the living God. And guess what? Many have rejected him today. No differently. Nothing's changed in 2,000 years. And so, Paul worked hard and sacrificed much to teach the Jews about the Lord Jesus Christ. And because Jesus is the most complete revelation of God, they had a problem because they could not comprehend that Jesus came from heaven down to be with us. They couldn't comprehend that. And so, no one can fully know God apart from knowing the Lord Jesus. Listen, how many of you grew up in a religious home? I know I did. Huh? And we did all the sacraments. We did all the rituals. We did all the holy communions and the confirmations. We did all that. And I'm not gonna knock it. But my question is this. Did you get anything from it? Did it build your relationship with Christ? Or was it just something you did because you had to do? I think it was something that a lot of us were forced to do. Right? I'll share a quick little story. I mean, you know, I was a rebellious little five-year-old. At that age, I was rebellious. And I used to always talk in the Sunday school there at catechism. It was called catechism. Sunday school in the Catholic Church is called catechism. Remember that? Oh yeah, catechism. And I'll never forget. I was like, yay. I was making fun of someone. And out of nowhere, it was a big ruler came and whacked me on the back of my hand and put a welt on me. And I was like crying. I couldn't stop crying. And I ran out of it. I'm never going to come back to this place again. And left a mark in my heart. Not of anything that was good, but I didn't want to be here anymore. It was like, wow. Like, where's the love? Where's the grace? There wasn't no grace with them. They was looking to whoop you. And so, the Jews, like everyone else, can find salvation, but only through Jesus Christ. This is what Paul was referring to. Only Christ alone can you obtain salvation. Look at John 14:6 says, right up here. Jesus said to him, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then Luke wrote this in the book of Acts. Nor is there, Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And what name is that? Jesus. He's the only saving name. Did you know that it's his name that saved us? Because we never met him face to face. It was our faith in that name. That's why they want to remove his name everywhere. They want to remove it from the schools, from the court system, from the public arena, from the businesses. They want to remove the name of Jesus. Why? Because there is power in his name. There's deliverance in his name. Hallelujah. There's salvation in his name. And that's why they want to obliterate his name. Jesus, help us. And so just as Paul did, we should wish that all our Jewish friends might be saved. When we were at the temple, I kept praying for Rabbi. I kept praying for Arlene. I kept praying for all of them. Oh God, save them. And you know, one day he may. I believe we were there for purpose. We were there by accident. We sowed in that building for how many years? 11, 12? 12 years. And I know some of them cried when we left. Because some of them loved us. And then there was some that, because another church was going to pay them $100 more. And they're not even there no more. Wow. It's like, wow. But that's okay. Because God had a plan for us. Amen. He still has a plan for us. In fact, we should ask ourselves, who do I desire to be saved? And am I regular praying for them? Tonight, we were praying for them, right? Weren't we? We're praying for our friends, our family, that they would be saved. And guess what? Your prayers is not in vain. Watch God honor all those years of praying for them. And when he finally, right before he comes, he's going to manifest himself to them. And I'm praying that their hearts are changed. Can I get amen? So let's move on to verse 2 in Romans chapter 10. And it reads, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And that is so true. The Jews certainly had enthusiasm in their devotion to God and their practice of the law. Paul knew that from his own experience. You remember? He was a what? He was a rabbi. He came from the teachings of Gamaliel. He was the attorney of the day. He was the rabbi of all rabbis. He was from the line of Benjamin. And he had a zeal. Guess what his zeal was? Was to destroy the church. Because he thought that Jesus, the movement was called the Way, was a false religion trying to take over Judaism. They didn't realize that Jesus, whom the scriptures prophesied, would come, and Jesus came. Isn't that something? And so it was a misdirected zeal. They had a zeal which was good, but it was misdirected. And instead of embracing Jesus when he came, they rejected him. Wow. You see, the people loved, the people Paul loved, which were the Jews, were so busy trying to keep the law that their zeal was actually keeping them from understanding God's way of salvation. Because it was in the scriptures that the Messiah would come and save them from their sin. And this was exactly Paul's state of mind before Christ confronted them. He was so zealous for God, for his religion, that he persecuted Christians. This is why we have to be real careful. Don't be so zealous just say, I'm born again. I'm saved. No. We need to walk with humility. Can I get amen? We need to let a people know that's dying, that's going to hell, that God can save you like he saved me, because that's where I was headed. Let them know the truth. We were headed there. There was nothing good in us. He just had mercy. He had mercy. Look what Luke wrote in Acts 9, 1 and 2. Look at this. Then Saul, remember he was Saul of Tarsus, right? Still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of, here it is, the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. But here's the thing with this. He just didn't want to bring them bound. He wanted to kill them. He was the original drive-by, house invasion guy. He invaded their houses and pulled them out. Look what I found in Acts 22:3. Look at this. It says, I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel. He's talking about his upbringing according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you are all today. And then he goes on to testify. And some of us have a similar testimony. You know what my testimony was similar? Was that I tried to tell people there was no God. I was trying to convince that being an atheist was the way. Look what he says in verse 4 here. This is Paul now, or Saul of Tarsus. I persecuted this way to the death. This is what he did to them, to the believers. Binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in change, even those who were there to what? To Jerusalem to be punished. He wanted to punish them and do away with them. And then when you go further into the Acts, like I found right up here, look at this. Acts 26 and 4, he says, my manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem. All the Jews know. In other words, they all knew who Saul was. That he was a devout rabbi who grew into one of the greatest rabbis during that day and time. But look what he says here. He says, they knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify that according to the strictest sect of our religion, he goes, I lived a Pharisee. So he was one of the Pharisees that Jesus would later on call a bunch of vipers and snakes, huh? Didn't he tell them that? Didn't he say, woe unto you hypocrites? He told the people that were like Saul of Tarsus that very thing. Jesus confronted these folks. Look at this in verse 6. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. See, he's testifying in front of the king. Yeah, I was like that. Yeah, that was my testimony. Yeah, that's what I did. But that's not me no more. This is who I am now. And this is what the world needs to hear on who you are today. Can I get amen? Amen. You're not the same you were. For me, it's been going on 36 years. I'm not the same person I was. And neither are you. And it doesn't matter. You could have just got saved 2 days ago. You're still not the same you were 2 days ago. Look at this, what he's saying here. In verse 6. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made to God our fathers. To this promise, our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to obtain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? He was telling them, the God I serve now raises the dead. Look at this in verse 9. He said, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Meaning he wanted to destroy him and kill this man. Look at this, verse 10. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints, look what he did. I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. From Jesus' own countrymen, they turned on the Lord. And here's the thing that baffles me, saints of God. He did all the miracles. He raised the dead. He healed the blind. He healed the mute, the dumb, those who were paraplegic, those who had all kinds of diseases and illnesses. One of the worst things, I believe, that was worse than cancer of that day, it was the ones that had leprosy. And he cured them all. He healed them all. And they saw it all, and yet they still were walking in unbelief. None of them could do that. Their book that they studied couldn't do that. Their rabbis couldn't do that. But Jesus did. And yet that made them even more mad. This way, when you look at today's day, when you speak the name of Jesus, it gets them more mad. Wow. Wow. Look at verse 11 here. And I punished them, often in every synagogue. Look at this. In every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to the foreign cities. He was everywhere. This guy had a zeal to fight against God. Let me just say this. I don't care who you are. Your arms are too short to box with God. Too short. He was swinging at the air. And God was probably laughing at him. Watch what I do when I call him to me. And so, saints, his zeal was based on a misunderstanding of God's word. That's why it's important to be in your word. Because the word will rightly divide itself in your heart. You will see truth. You'll see it being expounded in your heart. This is why it's important to be in Bible study and Bible class. And so his zeal was based on a misunderstanding of God's word, and so was the rest of those who had the same zeal that all the Jews hung with. They had the same zeal, yet when they saw Christ, they could not embrace him. Wow. So let's move on to verse 3 of Romans chapter 10. And it reads, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And so basically the Israelites did not understand the extent of God's righteousness, how it would be achieved and how it would be made available to all people. But look what I found in Titus. Because Titus, there was revelation in Titus. Titus chapter 2, look at this. In verse 11 through 15. For the grace, say that with me. For the grace of God. It was God's grace, right? For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So in other words, Christ appeared now to the whole world, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, even in the present age. Looking, say that with me, saints, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. My question is this, are we looking for his appearing? Are we looking every day, God, are you going to show up today? Are you coming for us, God? God, would you help me live soberly and righteously? Because today may be the day. Would you give me strength for the day? Are we asking God for that kind of help? Or do we just go around like another mundane day and care less until Wednesday nights come around or Sunday nights come around? This has to be our life now. This has to be our only hope. Christ, the hope of glory. Look at this in verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might what? Redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are special to God.
You are special to God.
You are special to God. Zealous for good works. Speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Did you catch that one last phrase there? Listen, I know it's one of the toughest things to do in ministry, to do as a believer, but sometimes you got to rebuke someone in love and set them straight. Why? Because if you don't rebuke them with authority, only God's authority, they're going to go on thinking that their way is right and God's way is wrong. And so they're going to live that kind of lifestyle unless they get rebuked. And sometimes a rebuke is, I'd rather rebuke someone in love than to lose that someone forever. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We need to be correctable. That's correct. We do. If you never corrected your children or grandchildren, they will grow up to be rebels without a cause. And if they end up their way in prison, whose fault was that? I don't blame those people that are there. I blame those who brought them up. Jesus, help us. So instead, they were clinging to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. So let's go to verse 4 in Romans chapter 10. And it reads, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. You see, saints, they were not creating some kind of new righteousness. Rather, they wanted to achieve God's righteousness by observing the law and their rituals. So they couldn't understand that you can be right before God through faith. Listen, let me just say this. I'm going to say it in love. I've been to churches where they had the do's and don'ts. And if you didn't keep them all, they would look at you like you backslid. And let me just say this. Just because you dress a certain way, look a certain way, not wear things, but strip you down, that doesn't make you more holy. Can I get amen?
Amen. That's right.
It don't make you more holy. It makes you in a better standing with that organization. But it has nothing to do with God. God loves you who you are.
That's right.
He loves you right where you're at. He doesn't put stipulations on us. We don't have to worry about waking up, oh God. Oh, God, help me today, God. No. He gives us every day as a day that we can serve Him. A day that we can love Him. A day that we can love others and pray for others to be born again. He's called us for such a time as this, that we would be lights on top of a mountain, not operating in fear, but operating in hope. The hope of glory. And so once their minds were set, they could not see God's way. They were so just religious folks that righteousness had been provided for them through faith in Jesus Christ, that the whole purpose of the law had been accomplished in Him. And it was, but they didn't see it. Christ fulfills the purpose and goal of the law that He perfectly exemplifies, saints of God, all that the law requires. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 5:17. Look, it's right up here. It says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is what? Fulfilled." Look at verse 19. "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least," what? "In the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he might be called great in the kingdom of heaven." But look what it says here in verse 20. "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." I want to ask, did you understand that? Did you catch what he just said? Let's read that again. "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus hit it right on the money. You know why? Because perfect people do not make it into heaven. These people were perfectionists. They studied to be perfect. But he said inside of them, they were dead men's bones. He called them snakes and vipers. He called them hypocrites. So Jesus was setting an example that if you follow this law like they are, you're right. You can't enter in the kingdom. Because we are entered into the kingdom by God's grace through faith. In other words, you come with all your junk, and the blood of Jesus, which washes your sins, will get you in. Can I get amen?
Amen.
It's not by righteousness that we are saved. It's by God's grace. By God's mercy. You know, I didn't understand that years ago until God had to. It's simple to understand it now. But I had to just keep plowing and keep asking God, give me revelation on this. And then it just dawned on me, wow, where was I, God? Why did I struggle with this? And God said, that's okay. He goes, we go from faith to faith, glory to glory. What you learned today, maybe you didn't see it yesterday, but it was always there. Can I get amen?
Amen.
All right. So let's move on to verse 5 of Romans chapter 10. "For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them." Uh-oh. So Paul quotes freely from Moses. The quote is from Leviticus 18:5. We're going to go there right now. It's a section of Leviticus that gives God's instructions to the people for how they should live in the promised land. Now let's look at that for a moment. Here we go. In Leviticus 18:5. "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them, and I am the Lord." This had a place during Levitical times. this one scripture. Well, guess what the commandment is today? Because if we have the same mindset like this, we're not getting in. So the mindset today is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Right? And to love one another as Christ loves us. Right? Then he says, then you have fulfilled all the commandments if you learn to love one another as I have loved you. So what he's saying is, we're getting in through a love relationship, not by do's and don'ts, not by rituals, not by perfection, because none of us are perfect. Can I get an amen? Amen. We weren't perfect when he found us. We're still not perfect after he found us. Can I get an amen? Amen. But what God sees in us, he sees us now sinless, because the blood washed away our sins. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, God, because we couldn't save ourselves.
Right.
Only the blood. Only the blood can save us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So saints, they were to obey the law, for it would separate them from the pagan nations around them. This is why God said, do this, do that, do that. Because the pagan nations did opposite. But the statement, the law's way of making a person right with God, requires obedience to all of its commandments that reveals the law's fatal flaw. So in order to be right with God, one would have to obey the law perfectly according to back then, not sinning once that is impossible. How many can honestly, I'm going to put my hand up like this. How many of you have sinned after salvation?
All of us.
Bible says all. All have fallen short of the glory of God. You see, James puts it clearly right up here. Look at this. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. You know, I asked this one person, I'm not going to say his name, but he's an Arminianist. What's an Arminian? Okay, they believe that God can remove your salvation and send you to hell. So in other words, you could lose it. Okay, so I put him to the question, and he stumbled and fumbled and couldn't give me an answer. So I said, what if a person who's 80 years old was saved for about 30 years, and that person went his whole entire salvation life that honored God, that committed no physical sins, that kept all the dietary laws, all the Ten Commandments, okay? And he really strove and strived to do that. And then right before Jesus comes to take us home, he was driving and saw a billboard. And it was one of those billboards that had a woman in her bikini. We've seen them before. Yeah, we've seen those things, right? And he had a second of lust in his heart. Like one of those only if. And then Jesus came. So all those years, and God sends him to hell? Is that where he's going now? Because he had that one little lapse driving. So did Jesus save him, or does he go to hell? He couldn't answer it. I go, because you have those same thoughts too. He walked away. None of us are going to get in like that. We get in by God's grace, by His mercy. We pray for one another. We're saying, God, cleanse me, wash me, purify my heart, that I may serve you, God. And we walk in humility, knowing that our life here on this earth will never be perfect. Knowing that we're in this great salvation as unperfected. And the only thing that we have going for us is that we're washed in the blood. Amen. Filled with the Spirit of promise. We're heaven bound, and now there's a hell to shun. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. Hallelujah. And that's all that matters. Can I get an amen?
Right.
Don't let the devil bind you up, deceive you. Oh, look what you just did. Look what you just said. Look what you just looked at. Look what you just heard. It's easy to go into a direction where now the enemy will start putting condemnation on you. Dust it off. Get up and get back in the game. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Just look at it as a football player, running back. What's his job? To carry the ball across the goal line, right? And so what if he gets tackled? Does he stay there? He gets up. And he keeps running. The next play, right? Till he crosses that goal line. That's what we got to keep doing. Keep getting up. Okay, God, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for that. Forgive me what I said. Forgive me for that. Oh, God, help me. Cleanse me. Give me the strength to be an overcomer, God. There's nothing wrong with asking God to help you. Can I get an amen? We need to ask God every day. Help me, God. You know why? Because He's given us the revelation knowledge that we have sinned on this earth. We still live in a sinful body. And we need Him. We need Him every moment. We cannot take advantage of our salvation, even though we are saved, sanctified, and redeemed, heaven bound. We can't take advantage of that. We got to say, God, keep my mind focused on Thee, O God. Keep my heart pure. Keep my mind at peace. And keep the devil away. Can I hear an amen? Keep the devil away. Because the devil wants to come to steal, kill, and destroy. So let's move on to verse 6 in Romans chapter 10. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. You see, saints, Moses also wrote about getting right with God through faith. In verses 6 through 8, Paul recalls phrases from Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy includes Moses' final speeches to Israel as they were about to enter and subdue the land that God had promised them many years before. So Moses recited many, 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 many blessings. And we're going to see what he wrote in Deuteronomy. But let's move to the next verse because this coincides with verse 6 and 7. So verse 7, or will he descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? And so, saints, at the conclusion of this address, Moses explained that the people knew that they had to please God during this time. And the only thing that we're going to please God is receive Him by faith. And to be washed in the blood. So God does have order. Let me just say that. God had order then. He has order today. And that order today is repentance, confession, and then salvation. Isn't that something? When we repent and then confess and then receive, my goodness, then the glory of God's all over you. And guess what? He'll always remain upon you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Look at Deuteronomy 30 right up here, what Moses wrote here. For this command which I command you today, it is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will send into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Look at this in verse 13. He's just quoting him. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Now next week, we got a few more verses, but next week, we're going to see how it's done in the next few verses in Romans chapter 10. And so the message was as near as their lips and heart. Let me ask you a question. I said this before, let me see if you can remember. Here's a little quiz question. What is the distance between heaven and hell? What's the distance? Oh, someone forgot already.
From your heart to your...
18 inches from your mouth to your heart.
Okay, sister.
Come on, sister. Come on, let's get it. You got it? It's from the mouth to the heart. Because confession is made from the mouth, salvation then comes to the heart. Woo! Thank you, God. So that's the distance. And all someone has to do is confess the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of their sins. And guess what? They've bypassed hell now by faith. Wow. See, no one should have to go to hell. Can I get an amen? All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. Thank you, God. And God will save. You know why? Because, remember, we read it in Romans just now, and we just read it, that God is near you, right? Is he near us? Well, look what John 1:14 says right up here. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was right there in their midst, the Word manifested in flesh, and they missed it. They missed it. And so no one has to go to the grave to bring Christ up from the dead, because he rose already. He rose on the third day to give us life. Can I get an amen? And so we're going to close out with verse 8. We're coming in for a close. Look at verse 8 now. In Romans chapter 10. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So just as God's message was already clear to the people of Moses' day, so it is as near as the lips and hearts of Paul's readers, including us. 2,000 years later, the Lord is near to us. Can I get amen? Look what Paul wrote in the book of 2 Timothy. Look at this. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Here's the key for you and I, saints. Preach the word. Say that with me. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince. Oh, there's that word rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why does God exhort us that way? Why does God instruct us that way? Why does God say convince, rebuke, exhort with all patience and teaching? Because he answers it in the next verse. In verse 3, look at this, right up here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from where? The truth. And turn aside the fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Turn to your neighbor and say, fulfill your ministry.
Fulfill your ministry.
And I close with this last scripture. Because in the day that we live in, we need to be like Paul the Apostle. Not Saul of Tarsus. God fully transformed him. And when he became saved, how many believe that he was bold? He was bold. Wherever he went, he was bold. That's right. And so we read this in the first chapter of Romans, right up here. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to what? To salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God, praise God. Saints of God, I am so blessed that we are now in chapter 10 of Romans. But I'm speaking to someone that I feel in my spirit who has been logging in sometimes on a weekly basis. But maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we want to give you that opportunity right now. We live in the days right now like the days of Lot and Noah. We know that Jesus is coming soon. And you do not want to be left behind. And so I'm going to ask you, if you want the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and to save you, it's through faith by God's grace. It's as simple as that. No one's going to ask you to run 50 laps around Sweetwater's football field. You don't have to do 200 push-ups. You don't have to read the Bible for the whole year and then come back and say, I think I understand it now. No. You receive Jesus right now by faith. Just open up your heart. Let him in. And he'll give you a life that will blow you away. A life filled with joy and peace and meekness and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. He will take your heart issue, because it's about the issues of the heart. He will take a black heart of sin and give you a heart of flesh with life and hope and joy and peace. And you will know without a shadow of a doubt that he has also given you eternal life. All that by surrendering to the will of God. So if that's you watching right now, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to bow our heads and our heart, that they would pray with me to pray for you, that God would do a miracle in your heart. So bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Oh, come on. Is he worthy? Woo, he's worthy. We're so, so mighty blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.